What did you say?
I'm interrupting my dad.
Yeah, yeah, you do that a lot, actually.
Yeah, I actually do.
Harris, do you interrupt your dad a lot, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty much a kid's job, though, right?
Yes.
Laugh and interrupt.
Yeah, interrupt the rebel.
He's a pretty happy guy. So we're joined by Gary and Harris are here as well. As is our pal Matt Epp, who brought his lovely daughter Luma along. Matt is playing with Leaf Rapids on Tuesday at the Park Theater for what is sure to be a great show. He's got a brand new record called Ready in Time. This is a song off of that. Matt's going to chat with us, maybe even play a song. It's going to be great. You're listening to Tell the Band to Go Home.
North Star shine on the road where the load is light. If it's time to move on, move on. Don't give up the fight. Born to drift, to see the earth. Made to meet the people on it. Made to see the worth. If you cannot follow, you cannot lead. You cannot know. So follow the North Star, follow the North Star where it goes. Follow the North Star till you know why you must follow. Follow the North Star. It seems so small from where we stand. Still the North Star stands out from them all like a diamond. In the sand, so follow the light. It's different from the rest. It will lead you where you need to be, and you will feel it in your chest. If you cannot follow, you cannot lead. You cannot know where the road goes if you cannot see. So follow the North Star home. Follow the North Star where it goes. Follow the North Star till you know why you must follow. Follow the North Star. In the promised land,
Are the fields green? Are the rivers blue? Who made the promise? Promise to who? Or is it a dream? Only a dream.
That is our pal Matt Epp from a little EP. The guy, since we saw him last, has put out two records. We played something from each. That's from an EP called Luma. We heard a song called Promised Land. Jeremy, maybe not now. And before that, we heard North Star off the new album, Ready in Time. Well, welcome back, Matt. It is so good to see you again, my friend. It's always good to see you. But
been a little while, yeah.
Yeah, but so much is new in your life, including these two records and that person over there. Which, you don't talk about her enough. Most people don't even know that she exists. Did you know that? I mentioned it on my show, and every time someone says Matt has a kid now.
Wow, I have a kid now.
You don't brag about her enough.
I brag about her quite a lot, actually. I guess for the last little while I've been touring overseas, and so that's probably why I have been talking about her a lot more over there.
Yeah.
You know, the Luma record release was largely overseas, and so I told a lot of stories about that. But, you know, it's true. I'll verify it right here. Exclusive Canadian content right here.
Yeah. And I mean, the first I'd heard about it, actually, you were on DNTO and you were telling a pretty crazy story about
right
when she was born.
Yeah. It was DNTO, especially, well, the theme was first jobs, I think. And so this was something about the first time becoming a father and,
yeah,
and inheriting that job.
Yeah.
And of course also being a birth partner. And that was a fabulous thing. I've kind of been saying since that if something took a huge downturn, like I lost my arms and, well, actually then I couldn't do this either, but, you know, I'm not going to quit music for any reason, but I was thinking maybe I could become a doula and I'd be called the doodla.
Nice.
Yeah. Cause the whole birth process is a huge miracle and I've become a huge fan of the whole thing,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's remarkable and I'm so happy for you, and it's good that you can be with her on Father's Day. That's so nice.
I know. It's wonderful. She's been coming with us on the road, all over the world, and now she's just chilling.
Yeah.
Just father-daughter time. She's squealing in the background, climbing all over everything. It's great.
You tour so much. Like, do they come with you most of the time?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Good for you.
Yeah. Well, I went to the Philippines and I didn't take the girls. It was, I was at the end of a machine gun a couple of times. It was the sort of conflict zones that probably isn't the wisest thing to bring your family into.
Wow.
Yeah. But, you know, it's all safe. I'm not going to...
Naive me. I didn't even know there were such conflicts in the Philippines.
Sure. Yeah.
Really?
Mindanao in the southern island. Well, it's got a long history. We could go on, but...
Yeah.
Point is, yeah, they come along, and we were just in Europe for a couple of months, and the band families, we all had an apartment, and then we would go and tour
nice.
From there, so... Never apart from the kids for long.
Wow, that's great. You has it changed your process much, or how you do it, or I mean, is this?
Well, let me tell you the you know I need to look after myself a little bit more in order to look after her more,
right.
Or you know, to be more present.
Yeah.
So that's changed, but I haven't written anything yet. Officially since she's been born.
Really?
Because, yeah, it's
You're
been...
You're so busy.
Well, I wrote so much in the pregnancy time.
Right.
You know, I almost became pregnant in a way.
You were birthing out songs all the time?
Sure. The inspiration that came with that whole process was enormous.
Yeah.
You know? So I had that whole burst of energy before that, and then I was able to be completely present for that birth time, and since it's been a lot of tour, but yeah, I'm sure things will change along the way. The inspirations, though, as the artist, have become just more profound.
Yeah, yeah.
Seeing everything again through new eyes.
Yeah. So do you see, like, is your outlook and everything kind of different, or do you think you haven't had time to put down the songs, but do you think they're going to be, I mean, you've always been a very positive, kind of hopeful guy. You're not exactly one of those guys that writes the sad, miserable songs, but,
no.
But do you think, like, will it change you at all as far as the songs? And
sure. I, in fact, you know, that song Promised Land we just heard, I thought that when I, became a dad, you know, a while ago, before any of this happened, I thought, you know, maybe fatherhood softened people up and they started writing, like, you know, not to say this like officially, but CBC songs, you know, down the middle, like nothing too edgy, you know, and it really just kind of, you know, made them safe in a really not safe kind of, like not a great way. Anyways, I discovered for myself that fatherhood gave me this more like, it's just, you know, more primal edge.
Yeah.
I feel like, I feel more connected to everything now,
good.
You know, like animals and just, you know, all life, nature, you know, the earth, just like everything like that. Becoming a father has made me feel part of the hopefully not sounding cheesy, but who cares? You know, the whole circle of life in general.
Yeah.
And so, I feel connected to that stuff now.
Right.
And so Promised Land, of course, coming from a dream where I dreamt I had a little girl and she was about 10 and I was telling her a story.
Yeah.
And she wanted to hear the story about, tell me again about the Promised Land.
Yeah.
And in the dream that meant to me, tell me again how the earth used to be when I was a child.
Yeah.
And in those 30 years, how many thousands of species of plants and animals have we lost, and how many people's cultures have been decimated, and all these things.
Yeah.
So it brought me into the heavier content a lot of time. Yeah. Not just like lullaby stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Well, speaking of CBC, I don't know if we've talked much since your last record, but Learning to Lose Control, you had a huge hit on that thing. And that CBC
was, nice.
Was like, you were on CBC all the time.
Yeah, that was great.
You were high up on the charts and everything. So you wrote this song with Serena Ryder. That must have been a long time ago you wrote that song. How long ago was
it?
Yeah,
I guess so. It was...
Because I remember you talking about going to LA and writing something with her, and then it seemed like I completely forgot about it. And until the record came out. So there was a bit of a
gap.
The
record came out in 2013, so I must have recorded it in summer of 2012, which meant I probably wrote it in 2011.
Yeah.
Which makes sense because Serena had written to me about writing right after At Dawn. The record At Dawn had been featured in the Cineplex pre-movie.
Yeah. I remember that.
Backstage Pass, and that's what she had seen, and we had written together that summer.
So that's how that came about? She saw you at the movies? And
yeah, so that was in May 2011, so we must have written that song in, you know, June 2011.
Wow.
Yeah. That's been a while.
I mean, when you work with Serena Ryder, you kind of, you know that something good's going to come out of it, I guess, but did you have any idea what kind of a reaction that song was going to get? Like, did you get the goosebumps when you wrote the song?
And yeah, you know what? That's true.
Song?
That in that way, we did realize we had something
yeah.
for sure. Yeah, at that moment, I mean, I wasn't thinking about what was going to happen from it. Of course, her kind of breakthrough with that record Harmony wasn't. You know, we didn't know about it. We were writing for it, in fact. We just didn't know. Like, she didn't know. I didn't know. Of course, she was just someone doing great things in Canada already with a notable voice. So, you know, I was just... I thought that this was more, you know, one of my peers and we're writing together. But when we wrote the song, we had just been getting along really well, and we both really liked it, and I thought that was a, you know... You know, you don't always write it like everything you write, or you know, you might not see its value, but we were both feeling it, and then her manager came in and kind of getting teary-eyed and was like, you guys should make a whole bunch of songs together.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, well, if she likes it, then we probably have something.
Did you have to arm wrestle over who was going to get the song on the record, or did we know it was going to be your song all along?
No, actually, I thought as soon as it was co-writing, I didn't think it was for me.
Yeah.
She was down there writing for her record, so I was just glad to, you know, get involved and hopefully it'd be something she'd like. But then in the end, she did like it, of course, but it wasn't, you know, pop material exactly.
Right.
It wouldn't have fit exactly in that production of that record.
Yeah,
and
right.
so well, she had many, many good songs that she didn't record at that time. So eventually I was like, yeah, but I kind of like the song.
Yeah.
So, and I started playing it a bit, and then I was like, you know what, this is really growing on me. I feel like this is a song that I'm in 100%. So then I asked, and of course she was in.
That's awesome. And I mean, did it open some doors for you? Did you get some more attention as a result of that? Did you see the Facebook likes and the Twitter follows and stuff?
Not in that way, but the CBC play. I've been getting some more notes, and of course more. It's really nice getting the letters. That's kind of the email, the fan mail or whatever.
Yeah.
That stuff's what's picked up. And I think the power of it is really the impact that the song itself has had in people's lives. I mean, social media numbers, like, who gives a you know, who cares? Really, but when you get an email that says somebody didn't take their own life because of that song, or this is my fiance and my song and we're gonna get married to it, or this is speaking to me right now. I'm going through, you know, terminal cancer or whatever. I've got all of those and many more that are just like, you know, this is really moving me, and everyone can attach their own story into it. And I think it's just really powerful spiritually what happened there.
Wow.
And of course now people use it, to say that I have some merit. If they're throwing a show or something, they're like, this guy did something with Serena Ryder, so you should come to his show. Whatever it takes, you know, I just want to connect with people.
Well, good. And did that success did you feel any pressure going in to make a new record as a result of that? Did you feel like you had to live up to that?
No, not at all. I know I can do that again just by staying open and being positive. Like the song doesn't need to be written again because it's there. You know.
But again, when I heard the first single, I was like, oh, he's a pop guy now because
Ready in Time.
That's a pretty rockin' poppy single.
It's pretty fun though.
Like if you like that other one, you'll like this one too. So I
hope so. Yeah, I hope
so. He's onto something.
I wasn't thinking about. In the meantime, of course, I released Luma, which is very much not going in that direction. More of a '80s Lanois, spaciousness, and like Dylan, you know, the Dylan slash my own type of lyrics.
Yeah,
you know that stuff. But Ready in Time, the song is in line with When You Know It lyrically as well, because there's a story there. This one's more story based, but the point is that it's something that's it's clearly a metaphor. And so people can attach their own stories into it. That's why the video is also open to interpretation as animation instead of something like this.
It's a beautiful
is the story.
Video.
Do you like it?
Oh yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
If your listeners, if you guys out there haven't seen it, Matt Epp Ready in Time, official video is an animation done by a great, great artist from New Zealand, and he's living in Berlin now. I got to meet him just after he finished the video, but I employed him for a full month to do that thing frame by frame, and he's a wonderful artist. You should check out the rest of his stuff. Yeah. He's also an artist musically, and he's got several records that he just puts out himself, like on Bandcamp or whatever.
Wow.
And complicated, a little Radiohead-esque. Yeah, it's good stuff. Tim Armstrong.
I want to ask you quickly about making the record. The last record, you had the big name producer, and you did it in L.A. and stuff, I think, right? And it was kind of a bigger record. This time, you came back to Winnipeg and hung out with Rusty. I mean, what kind of made you do that?
Well, two things. One, I went with a guy who I'd liked his sound and went where he needed to be, you know, and so it wasn't really the attempt at making something that was like, you know, here's my big effort to make a hit, you know, like it still was pretty organic in that way, but it wasn't the funnest experience. And I was already after years of touring, I was getting pretty mentally exhausted and emotionally exhausted. Yeah. And that's partially the theme of learning to lose control.
Yeah.
And then, now I just, I've always wanted to make a record with Rusty, and he finally had he started living in a way that was like recognizing that he is a producer.
Yeah.
You know, he really, before he'd do stuff, but he wouldn't really take it seriously. So if you asked, he'd be like, well, I'm not a producer.
He sure is now. I mean, some of the best records coming out of this city have his name attached to it.
So in my mind, the legacy that he's had over the years since I've started to play music in Winnipeg, I've been a fan of his.
Yeah.
And like his writing, his voice, his personality, everything across the board. And so it was just a matter of he had a bit of a break in, you know, the Sheepdog schedule, and he started owning the producer title. And so I was like, let's do it here. We have the best studio.
Yeah.
We have the best engineer in mixing and producing with John Paul Peters.
Yeah.
You know, seriously, musicians listening here, just you should work there. It's worth every penny. And then we have the best, you know, musician and producer in Rusty. Like you don't need to go anywhere else in the world to get the best of the world, you know, here
Absolutely.
In Winnipeg.
Yeah. And it's a fine record. Lots of great songs. Again, I'd love to hear a song off of it. I know you got one that's seems perfect for today.
Yeah, I think so. Seeing as it's Father's Day, this one came the morning after my daughter Luma was born. And in fact, Ryan Adams came in my dream and gave me this song, and it just started with one line, and of course it got replaced when I found out what the song was supposed to be for me. But I woke myself up out of the dream and I was like, I know that that's not his song, and therefore I just dreamed he gave me this new song. And anyway, it's about my grandpa on my dad's side and his coming over to Canada as a refugee from Southeast Russia. And well, it's the story of many Canadians that aren't First Nations. This is anyways, it's called Hard to Say.
Mm-hmm.
to say he was 14 when the soldiers took him away. And his memory's sharp and they cut too deep to reach down, pull out the light of that day. And it's hard to say how he got to the boat, but imagine the day. Crossing took a month down to Pier 21 as he touched the ground. Might have thought he was safe, but that's hard to say. It's hard to say. Many friends froze and died along the way. But when they reached their new homes, cold to the bones, found themselves again on stolen planes. It's all hard to say. Never learned English, couldn't handle the change. Couldn't speak to us kids, and he kept it all hid till his dying day. If I speak now, would it still be hard to say? Hard to say. Goodbye is hard to say. You told the truth that many people were saved, but then I watched you go down and blew the autumn around. Mom took a picture of us all at your grave. The crosswords leave no clues. Cross and John back to you. If we knew each other better, we could write each other letters till our pens are blue. It's hard to say.
That's a beautiful song, man.
Thank you.
Wow, it's good stuff. You've always been so good at expressing your emotions and telling these stories that are very personal, and you just have such a nice way of doing that.
Thank you.
I've always thought it's brave, and I've always thought that, man, after a while of writing about songs about your own feelings, that's got to be hard after a while. Do you have to start making stuff up after a while? And
well, sometimes I disguise it. That's all.
Yeah.
This one, you know. Yeah, I guess. I mean, there's so many people out there being macho that I go overboard with the feelings side of things, I guess. But you know what? I'd rather be genuine and rather than anything else, and not, you know, maybe it's genuine to be another way for someone else, but this is really what I have to offer. And if I've learned anything doing this for so long, it's, you know, if you try to be yourself or if you try to be somebody else, you know, sometimes you're going to get, kicked.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's going to be fine, and but you're only going to connect with people if you're being yourself,
right?
So that's really important.
By the way, this is Matt Epp. If you're just tuning in, he's playing Tuesday night at the Park Theater. You play that place all the time. You must love that place.
You know what, the Park Theater, I've played once, I think.
That's it.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this is a especially a significant show. It's the, you know, ninth record I've released, and it's the day of the show. Like, I've never had a record go out into stores. I've kind of held back from that.
Yeah.
Although this time, Ready in Time is going to be in record stores.
If there are any.
If there are any record stores.
You picked a great time to put it in stores once there are no stores to put it
into.
I'll
tell you what, when I started in 2005, it was the same issue. Like, there was, the stores were all dwindling and people were saying distribution didn't matter. But for me, I just want to give everyone a chance to get this record because I really believe in it. Yeah. I feel like it's the right one to, you know, to share. And plus, this show on Tuesday, you know, I think, I'm doing a good service by putting it on and people could do a good service for themselves by showing up. Cause you know, you played Leaf Rapids earlier. Yeah. They're wonderful.
Oh,
the spirit they bring to a show just as people and musicians is wonderful.
Yeah.
And then I've never had so much harmony, spiritually and also vocally as I have on this latest Europe tour, with the group here from Winnipeg that has been playing with me. And I really appreciate them and what we bring is definitely worth showing up for. And it's not like, oh yeah, I'll see it next time. Cause every show is different. And this is a good one to catch. And plus Shy Cookie Pier from the Weber Brothers
is
flown in specially for the show.
Shut up. He's amazing.
He's amazing. And he's playing the keys with us. And of course, Brent Warren from Last Ditch on the Left.
Yeah.
And also has recorded with me for several albums. He'll be playing with us as well.
Wow. So who's the full lineup? We got those two guys. Who else is there?
Chantal Limond from French Press. Yeah. She's singing and playing percussion.
Wow.
And she's been on tour with us in Europe. And Joël Couture, of course, bass player extraordinaire. Joel Fashion, my right-hand man. And Yvan Burke playing drums and singing. It's a dynamite lineup.
Wow.
Beautiful people, really, really great souls. They bring the spiritual aspect to the songs. They really do.
I can't wait to see it. It sounds like it's going to be a fantastic show. So Leaf Rapids, then you guys, and it's cheap too, I think, right? It's how much are tickets?
Yeah, advance tickets are $15.
That's crazy.
And you know, it's going to be wonderful, really.
Yeah.
Really special show. So looking forward to showing up and seeing everybody there.
Tuesday night, Park Theater, 8 o'clock, I assume. And
8 o'clock. New records available there.
Yeah.
Same day as it's available on iTunes and in whatever stores are brave enough.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you can get it at McNally Robinson and
probably. Who knows?
That's the only place I shop anymore.
I haven't asked. I haven't asked where it's actually going.
Did you want to play another song or should we go to the CD? What do you think?
I don't know. I hadn't thought of something.
It's up to you. We can always go to the CD. I don't you know.
Yeah. I'll try something here. I'll see what.
That's good. Normally I have a 2-song minimum on the show. I was going to let you off with just one.
Well,
normally when people show up here and just want to do one song, I hate them. But you have a good reason.
Well, the little kid sitting there, but she's playing. She's good.
She's doing great. I can't believe it.
She's
my
chilling.
Kid's way worse than yours right now.
Well, my kid's like 10 months old, so. I'll try something. I'll try acoustic version. I haven't tried this before yet. It's for the song called Cash and Blood.
Yeah.
And it's basically a song about there being enough to go around, so. Yeah, we'll see how it works. Acoustic. Yeah, she's like the backup singer. Angels are falling. But less sin than this. Children dying from nothing to eat. Oh, I don't know what there's something about it. I don't know, but there's something about it that makes it hard to sleep. Could it be it's the cash in the bank, blood on my hands? Cash in the bank and the blood on my hands. I didn't start it, but I let it be. Kick them when they're down, when they try to get up. Oh, I don't know what's making me do it. I don't know what's making me do it. It's the cash in the bank, blood on my hands. Cash in the bank and the blood on my hands. Without a kingdom, there can be no king. Kick them when they're down, when they try to get up. Oh, I don't know what's coming over me. I don't know, tell me what's coming over me. It makes it hard to breathe. Could it be? It's the cash in the bank, blood on my hands. Cash in the bank and the blood on my hands.
Yeah, she doesn't like it.
I paid and I bought it. What can I be sold? The land I'm on is property stolen. I don't know what can be owned. I don't know, tell me what can be owned. It makes it hard to keep. Could it be? It's the cash in the bank, blood on my hands. Cash in the bank and the blood on my hands. It's the cash in the bank, blood on my hands. Cash in the bank and the blood on my hands. Ooh, my hands. Cash in the bank.
I don't know. That's the best I could do acoustic here with the kids screaming.
That sounded
at me.
Great to me. I can't imagine what else, what more we could ask. That's great, Matt. Thanks so much for dropping by. It is so great to see you. Congratulations on a beautiful baby girl.
Thank you.
She's fantastic. When was she born? How old is she now?
September 1st, and she's nearing 10 months.
Awesome. Yeah, it just gets better from there, man. I promise you.
Well, I can't imagine improvement at this moment.
Oh, I know. It's hard to believe. But we'll check you out on Tuesday at the Park Theater along with Leaf Rapids. That's going to be fantastic. And then the record will be available on Tuesday as well, right?
You bet.
So that's great. Check out Ready in Time. And we're going to play that big song, and we're going to take a break. And I think the other boys are going to come back. Thanks so much for being here, Matt.
It's
great.
It's been too long.
All right. Take care. We'll be right back.
Nikki lets out her breath, then she's out on the stage, and the words in her mouth, they are not on the page. They tell her she needed, that he would be proud. She's seeing his face.